Hi everybody, and welcome back to another one of my 78 RPM podcasts. Way back when, during the 20s and 30s, when radio broadcasts became more and more common and popular, in America in particular, because of the time differences, there were a lot of transcription copy discs of those programs, and they were shipped out to the different radio stations all across America so that they could all be broadcast at a time more suitable because, as you can imagine, New York is 3 hours ahead of LA. Also, before the era of Walkmans, digital recorders, and anything else, you could, if you had enough money and were interested enough, buy a disc recorder that could record straight off the radio onto discs which were not the normal shellac ones, but were one-off ones made of metal with a sort of skin covering of some sort of lacquer material, and you could record onto those. Occasionally, these come up for sale, and they contain stuff, which, of course, was never issued on an ordinary 78. One of those tracks is precisely what I'm going to play for you now. Spike Jones, or as he was actually named when he was a baby, Lindley Armstrong Jones, was famous, of course, for his City Slicker recordings, where he would make fun of all sorts of tunes and play them on a variety of instruments and kitchen equipment, such as cooking pots and frying pans and bells, whistles, and goodness knows what else. But he was perfectly capable of performing solo without his band, although you rarely hear such a performance. Here's an exception, because it's a white label record with no date information or matrix numbers. I can't tell you precisely when this was performed, but my guess is at some time in the 1940s, possibly the 1950s, but I think it's the 40s. I don't know why I'm saying that, but I think so. Well, here he is, in any case, messing up the Scottish traditional song Loch Lomond, and I don't think anybody ever got it wrong the way he does. So here we go with Spike Jones, this time alone apart from his long-suffering piano accompanist.
By yon bonny banks and by yon bonny brains, bon yonny braes, bray yonny brones, big brawny bones, or big bony bro. Oh, no. By yon bonny banks and by yon bonny braes, where the sun shines bright on my old Kentucky home. Where the sun shines bright on Loch Lomond, where tree men I knew love, hair's free if it's you, love, your hair's full of glue, love.
No, no.
We like each other a lot. Where me and my true love were ever one too gay, on the bony, bony banks, on the bonny, bonny banks of Loch Lomond, Leek Lyman, Loch Lomond, Luke Lehman, Lou Jackie, and Lou Jack, no, Johnny Lou Jack. What a player for Notre Dame. Just before the Notre Dame game, a gambler came up to me and he says, how you betting? You like Notre Dame? I said, I like any dame. I said, killer.
On the bonny, bonny banks of Loch Lomond.
You'll hate the right road and I'll make the whole road.
Ooh, no.
Or you'll rake the right road and I'll take a light load.
Ooh, no, nothing.
Or you'll make the Morse code and I'll bake a hot toad.
No, you don't.
You don't bake toads, you bake cakes. You know, speaking of making cakes, a friend of mine was making a cake once, a special recipe, you see. All of a sudden, he came running out of the kitchen, and I said, what's the matter? He said, well, it said to put in 2 eggs and beat it. Oh, thank you. Oh, you'll take the high road and I'll take the low road. High road, low road, high.
Oh, no.
And I'll Scott and Beeland afore ye, and I'll be in Foreland of Scott ye, and I'll land in Scott for a bee, I'll bet I get there first. But three men, my blue love, me and my true love, my true love. You know what my true love is? A beautiful horse, a horse. And there they go, around the turn, it's little Linda in front by three, one at a second, Lady Evelyn is third, and last place, it's sick man on the rail. But me and my true love, when me and my true love will never eat again, meet again. On the boony, boony banks, on the goony, goony gangs, on the loony, loony tanks, Mickey Rooney's prank.
No, no, no.
on the Bonnie Bonnie Banks. Banks, you know, talking about banks reminds me of when I used to be a robber. It wasn't dangerous. I was a safe robber. On the Bonnie Bonnie Banks of Robber.
As I may have remarked before, I read somewhere or was told that Spike wasn't the nicest of men. I have no idea if that's true or not, but I report it to you for what it's worth. I have also been told that our next artist wasn't exactly free with his money, but again, this is just a rumour. Before I tell you who he is, I should repeat to you that I'm always open for requests. And people get to me via my email, via this particular site, Earl Oakin's Gramophone Show, on Facebook, Twitter, goodness knows how, or over the phone, whatever. And I always say, if there's a record which you'd really like to hear, and I've got it, I'd be delighted to play. Recently, I was contacted by a message on my channel, which is Spats London, on YouTube, where I put some of my own songs and one or two tracks I really like. In our conversation, the gentleman asked for, and I don't know his real name because he goes under a pseudonym, one of these nickname things there, he asked to see whether I had the wonderful Serenata written by Mascagni, sung by a tenor who happened to be one of his favourites, called Albanese. But Albanese is a modern tenor. I've got one or two of his records somewhere, and he certainly isn't one of my favourites, I'm afraid, so I haven't got the record anyway. However, I do like that Serenata, and the best version I know is by the aforementioned, what should we call him, Tightwad? I'm sure that wasn't true, really. Giovanni Martinelli, one of the great Italian tenors. He was born in 1885 and died in 1969, was what you might call a real dramatic tenor, although in his early days, as you'll hear, he had a lyrical side too. He was born sort of halfway between Caruso and Gigli, a little bit older than Gigli, and so he sort of fills that gap. And again, as I may have mentioned in the past, I actually saw him live long past his singing days, but in the 1950s he came over to London and gave a couple of lectures illustrated with 78s, rather than the way I'm doing today. And so I did see him, and he seemed a really nice chap to me at the time. I was about, 8 or 9 years old. Well, here he is in his younger days, 1915, singing this Serenata. And it's an example of a really fine recording from the pre-electric days. I think sometimes they just got it right, and it's as if the voice is in the room with you. I hope you'll agree. Giovanni Martinelli.
Oh.
Giovanni Martinelli. But now for some jazz. Andrew Dewey Kirk. Andy Kirk was born in 1898 and was about to have a 94-year-old life. It was the first half of that life, however, that made him famous. I'm not quite sure what he was doing towards the back end. He first of all studied under Wilberforce Whiteman, Paul Whiteman's father, who obviously was not somebody who suffered from racial prejudice. He was just as happy to teach anybody of any colour, thank goodness. And having studied, he started his music career with George Morrison's band, a band of which I know nothing, but then went on to join a band called Terence Holder's Dark Clouds of Joy. However, Mr. Holder departed and Andy Kirk was elected the new leader. Andy Kirk's Clouds of Joy, better known as the 12 Clouds of Joy, then went on to have considerable success. In a way, they typified the early Kansas City sound, soon to be made famous by Count Basie. And in this particular tune, called Moton Swing, they honour Benny Moton, of course, who was the first major big band leader from that particular area, and I've played a track of his before. This, however, is Andy Kirk in 1936. The main star of the band was their pianist, and a female pianist at that. This is the great Mary Lou Williams, who was later on to teach the young Dizzy Gillespie and other beboppers about, well, music. She was a great pianist all her life. I heard her live at Ronnie Scott's club in London. And here she is, still as a young woman, just driving this wonderful band along, and they do swing. 1938 then, Andy Kirk's Clouds of Joy and Moton Swing. Thank you. Andy Kirk and his Clouds of Joy, you know, he's one of those great jazz band leaders that somehow has been forgotten by all but real jazz buffs and record collectors like me, which is a shame because it was a really high quality band. Another person who has probably been forgotten is Molly Peacon. She was born Malka Opiekun in New York City, the daughter, as was so often, of Polish Jewish immigrants. Her mother was a wardrobe mistress, her father was a shirt maker, normal sort of background, and she was born in 1906. At the age of six, she was already getting involved in the Yiddish theatre of New York and had a long career in that, later even being in films, both silent and, of course, later sound films. Her most famous film of the time was called Yiddel Mitten Fiddle, Jew with a Violin, if you will, which was made actually in Poland. And she had quite a long career, as I say, in the whole sort of Yiddish theatre movement. But she also made records that were to be enjoyed by anybody, whether they were Jewish or not. The one I'm going to play you is a sort of comedy record based on the life of the average working girl in New York in the 30s. In later life, after the war, she was in various films, and probably you'll recognize her face without knowing her name. She was in The Naked City in 1948. She was in Come Blow Your Horn in 1963 with Frank Sinatra. She played Yenta the Matchmaker in the film version of the Broadway hit Fiddler on the Roof in 1971. Sadly, towards the end of her life, she became a victim of that most horrible of diseases known as Alzheimer's, and she died in her 90s in 1992. However, let's go back to a happier time when she was at the peak of her powers, and let's hear her 1930s record, Busy Busy.
Busy, 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 all day long I'm in a whirl. Busy, busy, till I'm dizzy, haven't half a waking guile. Every morn I rise at dawn, take a shower, brush my hair, rush into my clothes like mad and run downstairs. Good morning there. Grab a cup of coffee quick, kiss my ma goodbye, and then where's my hat and where's my coat? Quick or I'll be late again. In the subway how they push you, gee, but men sure have big feet. I think the shock would kill me if a man gave me a seat. There's my girlfriend, hello, Melly. Gee, you're looking swell, my dear. Has that traveling salesman written? No, I'm getting off right here. Punch the time clock late a little if the boss sees that I'm sick. Put some powder on my schnozzle and behind the counter quick. Hello, Annie, how's your console? Yes, madame, that's been reduced. I saw the swellest talkie about a girl that's been seduced. Madame, you'll have to ask the floorman. Don't that make it wild? Can you beat that woman's knife? I should take care of her child. She thinks that I'm a nice maid, like to tell her what to do. Well, of all the rotten knives, no, madame, I don't mean you. Well, thank God it's time for clothes, and guess I'll take a taxi home. If my ma should ever see me, she would crack me on the dome. Hello, ma, did Harry call? Wants to take me out tonight. What'd you say? He's got tickets for the garden for a fight. Oh, there's Harry. Hello, dearie. Sure, I'm ready. Well, goodbye. Holy gee, is this the garden? What a place, oh me, oh my. What a crowd. Gee, those spiders sure have muscles, ain't they slick? Knock them into cashkas, buddy. Gee, that's great. It makes me sick. Come, let's go down to the village for a dance, so I ain't tired. Isn't this the queerest place? Let's have a drink, I feel inspired. What you say? It's 2 o'clock. My old man'll give me, well, hurry up and take me home. Good night, Harry, that was swell. Take my shoes off, they won't hear me. Sneak upstairs and get to bed. Holy gee, my dogs are barking, I'm so tired, wish I were dead. Now I'll lay me down and sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Busy, 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 all day long I'm in a whirl. Busy, busy, till I'm dizzy. Haven't helped a waking girl. Good night.
Molly Peacon, and that was recorded on the 16th of May 1936. I have to admit that I hadn't really heard of Molly Peacon, and the record that I bought was a sort of lucky surprise for me. Even after decades, you can still have lucky surprises when you collect 78s. I certainly know the artist on the next record, however. His name was Tom Burke. On his very first records, Thomas Burke, a little bit more posh, but I think he preferred just being plain Tom. His father came from Ireland, but he very much was a Lancastrian, born in Lee, I think it was, in Lancashire, and he grew up to be one of the great and very few truly great tenors born in United Kingdom. Singing was always his passion, even though, of course, he came from good mining stock, and he was so entranced with the whole idea of singing opera that he actually walked from where he lived to Blackpool to hear Enrico Caruso sing, who actually, yes, gave a concert in Blackpool. I stood in the very place where he sang. He himself became a great singer. His very first appearance at Covent Garden was alongside the great Nellie Melba herself. Unfortunately, though, he soon gained a reputation for being unreliable, a bit of a show-off, a bit of a troublemaker, and, well, also occasionally drunk. Which is a shame, because I've seen lots of clips of him on YouTube. He obviously was a fine professional tenor, and really should have had a much bigger career than he actually did. By the 30s, he was only recording for rather inferior record labels in terms of the material they used to manufacture the 78s, hence the rather noisy, backing, mushy sound behind what you're about to hear. And they wouldn't touch him because he had this reputation for being unreliable, as I say. How true that is, I don't know. He was still able to sing really well in his later life, but by that time his career was finished. Now, I played before the record of Mascagni's Serenata. Various composers from Schubert on have written serenatas. The most commonly recorded ones were the ones by Tosti, and the one that's often known as the celebrated serenata by Toselli. And that's the one I'm going to play for you now, sung, as I say, by Tom Burke, again in the 1930s. Wonderful recording. Only slightly spoiled, I think, by that, as I say, slightly noisy background of the 78 itself. I hope you'll enjoy it, as I know I will. Tom Burke.
La gioventù passata.
Listening to that record again, I'm reminded how Tom Burke had all the attributes of a great Italian tenor. He was, in fact, almost an exact contemporary of Beniamino Gigli, and I think he could have been in the same concert without feeling at all ashamed, even in direct comparison with him. He has the ability to use portamento. He does not belt out top volume all the time. The final note is beautifully soft. I mean, he really was a fine tenor. And had that swagger, that I think the word is giro, that the best Italian tenors always had. However, let's move on to somebody completely different. Born in 1902 and dying in 1982, Sam Coslow was one of those people who seemed to be able to turn his hand to anything. However, as a young man, he was obviously drawn to what was called jazz. Some of the things that he was drawn to wouldn't be classified as jazz these days, but more American dance music of the 20s. But in those days, the word jazz, I think, meant anything that wasn't classical music. In other words, the pop music of its day. He hung out a lot in New York in the early days, and I read recently had something to do with the discovery of Duke Ellington and the elevation of Duke to the fame, which obviously was so well deserved. And Sam Coslow actually introduced Duke, I think, to Mr. Mills, the person who made him famous. But alongside that, Sam himself was writing songs, and being the sort of person who was good at business, formed a publishing company with Larry Speer, and made quite a few recordings as a performer, as a singer. I'm not going to say he was good enough to be a rival of Bing Crosby, but neither did he have one of those typical high, effete male voices of the 20s. So he's an interesting singer. Later on in life, he became a film producer, even won an Oscar for a short film, something called Heavenly Music, in 1943. He had various children, and in fact, just recently, I met his younger daughter in Hollywood when I was over there for a couple of weeks. During the last years of his life, he shifted from work in music and film to market analysis, which meant he must have had a few bob. A really fascinating man with a really mixed up life. Amongst the most famous of his songs, he wrote a classic called Cocktails for Two, and I believe he wrote My Old Flame as well, one of the great classic songs. Anyway, here he is with a band called the Hi-Hatters. As far as I can make out, this was in fact a studio band run by the people at Victor, which didn't really exist as a working band. I could be wrong about that, but that's what I think it was. And I believe the leader was Nat Shilkret, who wrote and arranged all sorts of music in all sorts of styles. Be that as it may, this is Sam Coslow and the Hi-Hatters. And this recording was made on the 19th of September, 1928. The name of the song, Some Sweet Someone.
I'll meet some sweet someone.
Well, now, this is the point in time when I remind you that I do spend quite a lot of time doing this every month. I enjoy it, but it does take some time. So obviously I want as many people as possible to share the delights of that forgotten world of the 78 RPM record. So all I ask of you is you take a few seconds of time, send the link to this podcast to all your friends. I'm sure a lot of them would really enjoy this music if, of course, they ever got the chance to hear it. So do spread the word. At the moment, I've only got, I don't know, under 100 listeners, I think. So, as I say, please spread the word and make it viral. I also mentioned earlier today that I'm open for requests. So maybe there's an old dance record that you like, or a jazz musician, or an opera singer, or a star of British or American music hall, or vaudeville as they call it over there. Or maybe it's French or German or who knows what. If there's a record you'd like to hear and you think I just might have it, all you've got to do is email me at spats47@ntlworld.com, and I'll do my best to provide it, assuming that it's somewhere in my collection, somewhere on those dusty shelves. Well, enough of all that. This is the point when I play one of my own tracks just to prove that I know something about music. I don't think I've put this one on yet. It was in a period, I think, in the 70s or 80s, sort of in between proper studio recordings with a proper accompaniment, by which I mean a full band. And this was just a demo I did, quite good sound quality, with just the piano. I haven't sung this song for years, and I fear I've forgotten how to play it. Luckily, I've written the notes down somewhere, but, well, I haven't sung this for a long time. It's called Love Just Fades Away, and I hope you'll enjoy the younger version of myself as I sing this song of my own. Until then, the next time, wishing you au revoir, this is Earl Oaken signing off from another of my podcasts. Don't forget, all the other 50-odd are still online. You just have to scroll down to get back to them. All of them are downloadable. You can play them in your car. You can add them to your iPod. There's no problem with copyright because these are old records. Again, until the next time, ciao.
That's how it ends. So I must go, throw another dream away, call it part of yesterday's show. The sun shone for an hour, leaving a flower that never grew. Now the color's blue, and I'm too. She wanted me too soon. It took the afternoon before I knew she wanted me to stay. She never let me know if I should stay or go. She never let me know what I should say. Waiting, holding up the dark. My chance. When I looked around to take what I had found, that's when she told me love just fades away. Writing her away. now it's too late. Now she feels safe. At last she called. Why don't we go out tonight? Can't you see my appetite's gone? We started a song, but it went wrong. The words don't rhyme. Hers just don't fit mine, and we chose the wrong time. She wanted me too soon. It took the afternoon. If I should stay or go, she never let me know what I should say. Waiting, holding up the dance, making sure I miss my chance. When I looked around to take what I had found, that's when she told me love just fades away.